Middle of chapter 44. We're going to review a little bit, very briefly, as we usually do. We're speaking about Avas Hashem, love for Hashem. We're speaking about the motivation that a person has for doing a mitzvah, and as a general matter, which we will be talking a little bit more later in the chapter. Of course, we have studied in the past that without Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, love and fear of Hashem, when you do a mitzvah, the energy of the mitzvah is not sufficient to bring down the spiritual energy from the high worlds, from the worlds of the spiritual worlds that we describe as Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. So when a person not only, so therefore, the not only is Avas Hashem, love for Hashem, a mitzvah in and of itself, it's one of the 613 mitzvahs, as we've said many times, and as we all know, we say in the Shema, V'yahavta et Hashem Elokecha, you should love Hashem. But not only is the mitzvah, not only is there a special mitzvah to love Hashem in and of itself, to love God, but when you love Hashem, when you love Hashem, when you love God, then you are motivated to do the mitzvah. So as a practical matter, la'avas Hashem, love for Hashem, is a motivator. When you love somebody, you want to do whatever you can for that individual. When you love Hashem, you want to do whatever Hashem wants, whatever God asks of you. So that's a motivator. That's a practical matter. But as a technical matter, without doing the mitzvahs, so well, let's assume a person is already motivated to do the mitzvahs. Maybe because the language of Tanya, mitzvahs anashim milamada, that means that's the way you've been raised, or you've gotten used, even if you weren't raised religious, but if you've gotten used to do certain mitzvahs, you light Shabbos candles every Friday night, every Friday evening, certain mitzvahs you do just because you're used to already. So that mitzvah now, and initially you were very excited about doing that mitzvah. It was new, it was fresh, it was something special. But now that you've gotten used to it, now you do it because of what's called in Hebrew, hergel. You're used to it. It's something that's become second nature. Of course, it's a beautiful thing if doing the mitzvahs is second nature. But at the same time, doing things in a way that's second nature does not, as we explained previously, does not bring down the spiritual energy that you're seeking to bring down. And I gave this example many times already. If you go to a party and you give somebody a present and the person needs the present, then they're excited regardless of your emotional state, regardless of your reason for wanting to give the present. But if you go to a party and give someone a present, or just plain give a present, a person doesn't need the present, then the only thing they'll get excited about is if they see that you're somehow excited. Otherwise, why do they need you to show up? As a matter of fact, this is something that we read in the Tanakh, in the Torah many times, in the words of the prophets. Hashem says, you think I need your mitzvahs? You think I need your karbanot, your offerings? I don't need any of it. I just want you should love me. I just want you should be faithful to each other. I want you to be good and kind and so on. So we understand that love for Hashem is a mitzvah, B, a motivator to do other mitzvahs, and C, important in order to properly elicit the response from Hashem that we're looking to do. In other words, our mitzvahs are intended to elicit a response. The response is a flow of spiritual energy, a flow of power, a flow of life to back to us and also to the whole world. And of course, the idea of doing mitzvahs is not just simply to tick off a box. I checked off a box, I did the mitzvah. But the idea of doing mitzvahs is to elevate the world, to make the world into a spiritual place. And what's the first part of the world that we're trying to affect is ourselves, our own nefesh habahamis, our own yetzer hara, our own physicality, our own materialistic side. We want to make that a little bit more spiritual feeling. So obviously, if you want to have that effect, you must put in Avas Hashem. So that's a general, which we said many times, that's a general understanding of why it's so important to have Avas Hashem. And then just to remind you that we're sort of halfway into this chapter 44. So we spoke about the two levels in chapter 43 We spoke about the two levels of love for Hashem. That first level of love for Hashem, which we said was based on a person's intellectual capacity. We said actually it's first based on your natural love for Hashem, that just because you're a Jew and you have spiritual DNA that you inherited from your ancestors, Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and all the great women and men from all the generations, but especially for the first generations. So that's a first level of love for Hashem that we have simply as a natural matter. That's like DNA. And then we said that you can amplify that natural level by a little bit of meditation, contemplation, a little bit of thinking, study, as we're doing right now, talking about the greatness of Hashem and talking about the greatness of the creation and so on. And then we said there's a level on top of that that we called Ava Rabba. The first level, just to remind you, was called Ahavas Olam. Ahavas Olam means a love for Hashem. So the first level we spoke was Ahavas Olam. And Ahavas Olam is actually a quote from our davening every morning. We say this concept of Ahavas Olam, now the Rebbe explains it as a term, not just as the meaning of the literal meaning of Ahavas Olam means a love that is eternal. And we say, Hashem, you have loved us with an eternal love. But we turn that around and we say we love Hashem with an Ahavas Olam. And what that means is we love Hashem with a love that's sort of natural. Olam is world, so it's nature. And what's the natural love? So again, two parts. Number one is the DNA, the fact that we're Jews. Number two is the higher level of that. We can take that DNA, that natural love, and use it with a little bit of understanding and meditation, contemplation about how great Hashem is, how complicated the world is, and how wonderful nature is, and how wonderful Neshama is. And then we develop yet greater love and appreciation for Hashem. So that is Ahavas Olam. And then we said there's a higher level. This is again the last chapter. And the higher level is called Ahava Rabba. And Ahava Rabba is not based on meditation, contemplation. Rather, we said it's a gift that Hashem gives us after we've reached a complete state of maxing out our own capacities. Hashem will then give us a gift if we are deserving and we've maxed out our own capacities. Then Hashem, so to speak, raises us up to the next level. And that is completely a selfless love. That's a love that you are completely nullified. You're not thinking about yourself anymore. Now your whole focus, not thinking about what that individual does for you. So the Ahavas Olam love is you're thinking about what Hashem does for you. Why do you love God? Because God gives you life. Why do you love God? Because God gives you energy in a world and so on. So whatever Hashem, if God does amazing things for us, of course, we will love Hashem in return if we believe that and we meditate on that and think about it and how miraculous our life is and how wonderful the things are. So Hashem does all these things for me. Of course, I will do whatever I can to repay that immense energy that Hashem gives us. But then you have a level that's called Ahava Rabba. And the Ahava Rabba level is higher than that. It's not based on what Hashem does for us. It's not based on what we are receiving. Instead, it is a gift from Hashem that is an emotion that we feel when we are on a very high spiritual level. That I've explained that level of Ahava Rabba is not something that every person can have. It's a gift. It's something that you have to merit, that Hashem should give you. It's as a matter of fact, Alter Rebbe says, only a few people in a generation that have that level of Ahava Rabba, of great love for Hashem, which is a selfless love on a constant basis. That is basically what we said in chapter 44. Chapter 44, we began to speak about two levels of love, another two levels of love for Hashem. Alter Rebbe said that these two levels of love for Hashem have, number one, it's possible for us as based on our efforts. It's possible for us to access. So we said that Ahava Rabba is not possible to access. Ahavas Olam, the first level of love that we explained was based on A, your DNA, and B, your meditation contemplation of that gift that we're given as Jews and DNA. That's possible for us to access, but through our thinking. Ahava Rabba, we said, is not even possible to access. It has to be a gift. See, Alter Rebbe said, and the difference between the Avos Olam and the Avos Rabba was that the Avos Olam is limited, the Avos Rabba is unlimited. It's selfless, self-effacing. It's not about ourselves. It's about only about Hashem. So now in chapter 44, the Alter Rebbe spoke about two levels of love for Hashem that we called Nafshi Ivi Sicha, the first level. And the second level we call Kibra the Ishtadil, like a child who wants to have their parents' affection. So we're talking now in chapter 44 about these two levels. These two levels are, the first level we said was Nafshi Ibisicha, as you see here on the screen, if you're looking at the screen, that the Zohar says that when a person thinks about the fact that Hashem is our source of life, it says in the Zohar, Nafshi Ivisicha Balaila, my soul, I desire you at night. And we have explained this to mean that literally it means that when things are dark for me, that's when I really want to turn to you, Hashem. But the Zohar explains that literally it means, my soul, I desire you Balaila, at night. In other words, when I think about what Hashem is doing for me, and when I feel a sense of spiritual exhaustion, then I appreciate my soul. So again, this is a level of love for Hashem that comes from a person thinking about what spirituality does for you. You say, without spirituality, without just going about my life as a materialistic creature, my life is empty. When I study Torah, when I find out about spirituality, my whole world's open up. I have a sense of enthusiasm. I have a sense of faith. I have a sense of enjoyment. So this is, again, it's about me. It is about me at the end of the day. It's about what spirituality does for me. But it has a component, the Alter Rebbe says, of both of the loves that we spoke about in the previous chapter 43, the love that is limited and the love that is unlimited. Because, the Alter Rebbe explains, if it's true, since it's true that this person has thinking about how spirituality is something that is so beautiful and so wonderful in their life and a connection to Hashem is so important to them, since that's true, then it turns out that what is your focus? What is your goal? What are you all about? You're all about Hashem. You're all about spirituality. And that, of course, is unlimited. So yes, the motivation is thinking about what it does for you. But at the end of the day, you are not simply focusing on nature and on the world and on what's happening in the world. So this is called the level of Nafshi Ivisicha. Let's read it a little bit inside. One should love Hashem, the Zohar says, with the love of the soul and the spirit as they are attached to the body and the body loves them. This means, since you, God, are my true soul and life, therefore do I desire you. That is to say, I long and yearn for you like a man who craves the life of his soul. When he is weak and exhausted, he longs and yearns for his soul to revive in him. So it's true that the pleasure of living is the greatest pleasure of all. A person will give up any pleasure in order to stay alive. But we don't feel the pleasure of simply being alive on a constant basis. And we spoke about this at length last week, because a constant pleasure is not felt. In other words, as long as we have our health, as long as we have the ability to move and to do whatever we need to do, we don't even sense how important it is. When a person, God forbid, has some kind of a health issue, and doesn't, then we start to appreciate a person doesn't have the ability to do this and that, then we really start to appreciate the person who's weak and tired, then he feels the desire to live. So likewise, when we meditate, that we go to sleep, sleep is 1/60th of death. And at that point, my neshama is a little bit tamped down. I don't feel the power of my neshama. I'm not able to study Torah. I'm not able to do mitzvahs. So this is a metaphor. This is why it says, Nafshi Ivisicha Balaila, meaning my soul desires, I have desired the life of my soul, Balaila, at night. In other words, it's a metaphor. It's a poetic way of saying when I recognize and realize how far I am and how spirituality is not manifest in my life, is not revealed, then I begin to truly desire it. And that's, of course, a truism. When a person wants something that they don't have, that thing that you don't have all of a sudden becomes the most important thing in your life. You could have a lot of other things, but if somehow you get it into your head that you need this thing, whatever it is, then all of a sudden that's your whole focus for that moment, for that period of time, for that week or day or year. And if you realize, when a person meditates and realizes the power of spirituality, the power of Hashem's energy, and you recognize that no matter how much of it you have, you still don't have enough, because you're never going to be spiritual as long as you're material. That's just the way it is. The two don't go together like fire and water. The two are opposites, actually, materialism and spirituality. So if a person thinks, the more and more the person thinks about how powerful spirituality is and how we are material in spite of ourselves, the more you're going to want it, the more you're going to recognize that this is, and this becomes an unlimited type of thing, because spirituality itself is unlimited. This first level of nafshi ibisicha is the level of love for Hashem that has these two things. The Alter Rebbe then goes on and says that the higher level, at the end of the day, however, this level of love for Hashem still is, I'm not going to say it's selfish, because it clearly isn't selfish, but it is a personal gain. It's what you're getting out of it. So what is a higher level than that? The higher level of love for Hashem is kibra de ishtadel. Kibra de ishtadel is Aramaic words that means like a child that is seeking their parents' approval. A child that's looking to make the parents happy. You're not even seeking the parents' approval as much as you want to make your parents happy. For like a son who strives for the sake of his father and mother, whom he loves even more than his own body, soul, and spirit, sacrificing his life for his father and mother in order to redeem them from captivity. So here we're talking about, the Zohar says that this is the way that Moshe Rabbeinu, served Hashem. This was the way that Moshe's relationship with Hashem was, not for himself. Whatever Moshe did was not for himself. Moshe was completely nullified. In the language of Chassidus, he was batel, he was nullified to Hashem's energy. And because Moshe is our teacher, and we've spoken about this many times, that the great leaders, and specifically the seven great leaders that we talk about, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and Moshe, and Aaron, and Yosef, and King David, and David HaMelech, specifically those seven great leaders, each give the Jewish nation some aspect of our personality. And this is a very basic thought. We've spoken about this again many times, that the spiritual energy that comes from Hashem goes through a pipeline. Along the pipeline, there are certain great tzaddikim that amplify it, that magnify it, and that direct it. So a person has, let's say, for example, air conditioning in their house, and sometimes the air conditioning doesn't reach a certain corner of your house. So what do? You install a fan. You put a fan in the ductwork, and the fan that's in the ductwork blows it, or it directs it in a certain way, or you put some other mechanism in. A silly example, but this is what our great tzaddikim do. So the great tzaddikim are along the pipeline of energy that comes down to our neshamas, and they magnify the energy that comes to us. They amplify it, they direct it, they attenuate it, they calibrate it, any word you want to use. Each of our great tzaddikim gives us Jews some other quality, some other ability, and it's DNA, so it's without our work. Alter Rebbe is going to explain to us now that Moshe, because Moshe was able to worship Hashem with this level of bitul, this level of self-nullification, this level of complete not thinking about himself, and Moshe is our leader, our teacher. Therefore, Moshe gives each and every one of us this capacity also, except that by Moshe, it was revealed. By Moshe, you looked at Moshe and you saw this is the way Moshe works on an ordinary basis. This is the way, this is his every day. By us, it's concealed. It's hidden, it's concealed, it's submerged, sometimes very, very deeply, but we do have, just depending on how deep you dig down and how much effort you put in and what the situations that you place yourself, the friends that you surround yourself with, the things that you do. Alter Rebbe is soon going to tell us the way you speak. So we're going to talk about all this right now. This is what we're going to focus on today, in today's lesson, the power of taking the hidden capacities that we have within ourselves, how and revealing them, and in fact, how do we do that? So that's what the Alter Rebbe is going to tell us in the second half of this chapter, 43, 44. So again, we've spoken about the two levels of love for Hashem. One was called Nafshi Ivisicha, where we have a love and desire for Hashem because we're recognizing spirituality, how important it is, and how materialistic we are, and how far we are, and how wonderful that would be if we would only get it, and how much we really need it. That was the first level. So again, that first level was according to our needs. It's what we need. It's what we want. It's what we're missing. The second level, which we're talking now, is kibrad ishtadel, which means like a child who wants for their parents' needs, not for the child's needs. Why would a child go and sacrifice his life for his parents? The example that the Zohar gives here, your parents, God forbid, were taken away captives. And all of a sudden, this is not your child. This is your parents. So your parents are, let's say, older people even. And they have their own lives. They live in their own house, and you live in your own house. Why would you go and give up, potentially give up your own life, fight with the robbers and fight with the pirates and fight with the people who think, and to save your parents? What's the connection? The answer is, what do you mean? They're my parents. So what? This is not your child. This is not your downline. This is your parents. And the answer is, that's exactly the point. They're my parents. So it's not logical. It's not what I'm getting. I'm not going to get anything more out of it. I'm not going to get nachas more. I'm not going to get old and they're going to take care of me. The opposite is the truth. Parents, God forbid, get old and unfortunately have different physical issues, and children who love the parents will, I'm not getting anything. My parents, God forbid, don't even recognize me. A person can say, with all the issues, dementia, who knows, what I've talked about, negativity. But that's what it is. There's a love between parents and children, and the Alter Rebbe has explained to us, this is from the Zohar, actually, that I was quoting the Zohar here, that says that this natural love, this love that is way beyond what I get from it, I'm doing it because I love my parents. I'm doing it for them, not for me. That's the love that a Jew is capable of having for Hashem. It's not what I get from Hashem. It's not about my life. It's not about my livelihood. It's not about my health. It's not about if I love Hashem, Hashem is going to give me more. No, I want God to be happy. What does this mean? I want Hashem to be happy with me. Hashem created me. I want Hashem to be happy. And I'll do whatever it takes, even if it doesn't make any sense to me. So this is...
Oh, Rabbi, I'm sorry. I have two technical questions on what you're saying. First of all, can you repeat again the names of these two levels? I don't see the names
the first
in the book.
Level, the first level is called Nafshi Ivisicha. And you see it here on the screen. Nafshi Ivisicha. Nafshi Ivisicha means my soul, I desire you. That's the way the Zohar explained it. Right? Nafshi v'sicha. And the second level is called Kibra de Ishtadel. Again, that's a quote from the Zohar. Kibra de Ishtadel. Here you see it in the middle of the screen. Kibra de Ishtadel. Like a child, like a son who is striving for the sake of his father and mother, whom he loves even more than his own body, soul, and spirit, sacrificing his life for his father and mother in order to redeem them from captivity. That's a quote. It's a quote from the Zohar. And the Zohar is explaining how Moshe, what Moshe's relationship with Hashem was. That's the way Moshe served Hashem on an ordinary basis every day. For us, the Alter Rebbe is about to say, we can, on some level, attain this mental, state of mind, this emotional state of mind, this emotional capacity, if we work very hard at it. And Alter Rebbe is soon going to explain how that works. So let's say...
I'm sorry, and the second question, Rabbi, you said these are the two levels, further two levels of which love, Ahavat Allah or Ahavat Rabbah?
So that's an important question. So the answer is, these two levels contain both. So the levels of Ahavat Olam and Ahavat Rabbah, which we previously said in chapter 43, one is Ahavat Olam is very limited, and it's based on either our DNA or our understanding of the world. It's simply based on our observation. When we observe how wonderful Hashem is to us, when we think about that we are Jews, when we come from a long line of Jews, so we love Hashem. That's, again, it's about us. It's about Hashem chose us. We say, like the bracha we say on the Torah, we say, Asher bachar banu, Hashem, you chose us. We think about the fact that we are the chosen people. We think about the fact that we come from amazing ancestors. This is all about ourselves. It's how wonderful we are, how special we are. So we love Hashem who made us into what we are. I mean, that's just natural. And the more we appreciate how Hashem has said it, the more we appreciate the uniqueness of the Jewish people, the more we appreciate the uniqueness of the spirituality that Hashem has given us, the more we love Hashem for making us and giving us that these levels. So that's the first level of that we spoke about in chapter 43 of Ahavat Olam. And then we said that that there's a higher level than that and has nothing to do with what Hashem did for us. It's simply loving Hashem because God is God. And that for that, that's a gift. To really be on that level, we said that's a gift. However, the Alter Rebbe is saying here, even though the second level of Ahavat Olam is a gift, it's possible for us to, on some way, in some level, in some, in some capacity, to bring that into our life through our efforts, even though that is a gift. It is possible. And the way is, the Alter Rebbe said, first, recognize the power of spirituality. And when you recognize the power of spirituality, then, and that's the first one, which is Nafshi Yivisicha, my soul, I desire you, then at a certain point, you're going to say, if that's the case, then all I want is spirituality. Then all I want is, I don't want physicality. It's not about what Hashem put me in the world. Then all I want is mitzvah. All I want is Torah. All I want is Gan Eden. All I want is higher worlds. But at the end of the day, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain to us, or is explaining to us now in this chapter, it's that first level doesn't allow the person to have what's called mesiras nefesh, self-sacrifice. Because in the language of the Alter Rebbe, if a person gives up their life, meaning their materialistic life, their actual life, in order to have spiritual life, then at the end of the day, you're simply paying a lot of money for something that you consider to be more expensive, more valuable, more worth having. So yes, it's true, you gave up your life. You may have literally sacrificed your life. A person is coming the ability to go into a party and to eat and to drink and to sleep. And instead, you don't eat, you don't drink, you don't sleep. A great tzaddikim we're talking about. And you study Torah and you do mitzvahs and you go and help and do this and that, and you get so sick from the whole thing that you die. I'm talking about an extreme example. And then you come up to Shemayim, you come up to heaven, and in heaven, Gan Eden, paradise, They say, wow, look at this tzaddik, look at this amazing person. They gave up their life, da, 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 da. Let's give them a wonderful Gan Eden. So did this person give up their life? No, they gained life. As a matter of fact, they gave up temporary in order to get permanent. So can you say that this is Mesiras Nefesh, assuming that the motivation for this individual who literally died in order to help another Jew, or literally gave up the last crust of bread in order to make somebody else, assuming that their motivation was because they felt that if I do this, I'm going to get Gan Eden, I'm going to get paradise, and I'm going to be in a very high... So at the end of the day, they paid a lot of money for something they considered to be more valuable. Nobody's going to say it's not a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong here. This is a very, very high level. But at the end of the day, it's not selfless. It's still, quote, selfish. It's still, you're paying money, you're paying a lot of money, all your money, to get something that's more valuable. You give up your house that you really love in order to get some other apartment, some other something. You know, yeah, I didn't want to sell my house, but I had to sell my house in order to get this thing, and then, you know, so on, so I'm better off. At the end of the day, you're getting. So the Alter Rebbe says a higher level, that's nafshi ivisicha. Now you understand this is a very high level. Nafshi ivisicha meaning I'm giving everything up. I'm giving up everything in order to get spirituality. This is amazing. This is unbelievable. However, the Alter Rebbe says, don't be happy with that. There's a higher level than that. So what I'm saying is that the idea of Ava Rabba, which we said again last chapter, which is to have a love for Hashem that's selfless, that is on a certain, from a certain perspective, you can say that this nafshi ivisicha level, you're selfless. Yeah, it's true, you got Gan Eden, but you gave everything else up. So at the end of the day, what are you looking for? Spirituality. You're looking for Hashem. You're looking for a relationship with God. So who's going to say that that's selfish? That's like a high level to say that that's selfish. But the Alter Rebbe says, yeah, at the end of the day, it still is selfish. So there's a higher level even than that. And that is kibra d'ishtad, like a child who wants to do for the parents, and you're not even getting anything from it. You're not getting anything. Your parents are old. Your parents may be of Alzheimer's, maybe whatever. And you're giving up all your money in order to, all your time, all your energy in order to take care of your parents who may not even know who you are just because they're your parents. Obviously, when we're talking about Hashem, it's not like that. Hashem knows exactly what's happening and so on. But this is an individual that has managed to have this type of relationship with Hashem. It's not about me. It's not about my spiritual level. It's not about what I'm getting in paradise. It's just about making God happy. It's just about, and saying this really and meaning this really. And we're soon going to see, let's go a little further. We're soon going to see, the Rebbe says, is this even possible? Is it even, I mean, we're talking words here, but is it even possible for human beings like ourselves, great tzaddikim, maybe, great tzaddikim. But is it possible for ordinary people like ourselves to even dream about such a level? So what are we talking about here? The Rebbe is going to say, yes, it is possible. Number one, it's possible because we are led by great tzaddikim. Are the great tzaddikim themselves give us this capacity? So Moshe says, although one may ask, who is the man who, and where is he, who would dare presume in his heart to approach and attain even a thousandth part of degree of love felt by Moshe, who is called the faithful shepherd? How can we say that every Jew can feel the same love of God that Moshe felt? Nevertheless, a minute portion and a particle of this great goodness and light illumines the community of Israel in each generation. It says in Tikkunim in the Zohar, that an emanation from Moshe is present in every generation to illumine them. There is a tzaddik in each generation, and furthermore, every single neshama of every single Jew also has this this capacity. And the glow from Moshe's soul, the Alter Rebbe says, is present in the souls of all of Israel. It's greatly obscured, it's greatly concealed, but we can bring forth this hidden love from its concealment to a state of revelation. And as the Alter Rebbe quotes the pasuk that the entire Tanya is based on, Alter Rebbe said in the beginning of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe said, I'm basing this whole work on a pasuk that says, Moshe tells us actually at the end of the book of Devarim, right before Moshe is about to pass away, Moshe says to the Jews, all the mitzvahs that I'm giving you, it seems like it's difficult. It seems like it's a big deal. And yes, it is a big deal, but you can do it. And the language that Moshe uses is, Ki karov elecha hadavar ma'od. This thing is very close to you. Bificha uvilvavcha la'asoso, in your mouth and in your heart to do it. Now, the Rebbe asks the following question, although he doesn't ask it in so many words here, but the question is implied. And the question is, why is the pasuk stated in this order? It says, Ki karov adavar ma'od, this is very close to you. Bificha, in your mouth, ubilvavcha, in your heart. I would think that if Moshe was telling the people that you have it in your heart to do it, then it should say, bilvavcha, in your heart, bificha, in your mouth, la'asoso, to do it. That's the order. The order is, you're motivated internally. You have an emotion that motivates you, that makes you love something, makes you fear something. Then you speak about it. That's beficha, your mouth. And then you do whatever it is, and that's la'asoso. So it should have said, Moshe should have said, this thing is very close to you, bilvavcha, in your heart to be motivated, beficha, to speak about it, and to do the mitzvahs that require speech, because certain mitzvahs are speech mitzvahs, telling you how to speak and telling you what to say and how not to say and so on. And then la'asoso, and other mitzvahs are action mitzvahs. Well, the Rebbe says that the reason that the verse is in this order is because when a person speaks about an emotion, you actually create and inflame and make greater that emotion. So the Rebbe says it should be habitual with your tongue and your voice to arouse the intention of your heart and your mind. The sound of one's voice arouses the devout concentration of heart. When a person speaks, a person says, we know this, a person, a matter of fact, the example that's given here is on the other side, an anger. A person gets angry about something. One of the tried and true methodologies of getting rid of your anger faster is not to say anything. Don't say anything. A person gets angry about something, keep quiet. Why keep quiet? First of all, you're not going to say anything you regret later, obviously. That's practical. But also, the anger itself will go away. Amazing stuff. If you see this, next time you get angry about something, get upset about something, don't talk about it. Don't tell anybody. Don't talk about it. Think about something else. The emotion, now the hurt might stay, obviously, if you're angry about something. But the emotion will go away. You'll be able to deal with it much, much easier than if you chewed it over and spoke about it. And of course, the same is true with love. We know this. That a person says, how much I love something, and I love you, and this, and I love that, and I love that. It definitely makes that emotional, that love, that desire for whatever it is, from big to small, it makes it greater. So the Alter Rebbe says, this is the trick. This is the trick. You want to be like Moshe? Moshe had the emotion, the feeling of serving Hashem like a child serves a parent, like a child that serves a parent, but a child worries and does for the parent without any getting back. We're talking about an older parent here, a parent who may not even know what you're doing for them. You want to have that emotion? Talk about it. Talk about it. It should be habitual with your tongue and voice to arouse the intention. Of course, where do we talk about it? We talk about it in our learning of Torah. We talk about it in our davening. We say these words in our davening. And that's one of the reasons that the davening is so scripted. Because when a person thinks about the words in the davening, a person thinks about the words when he's studying Torah, that puts you in a certain state of mind. That's just the way it is. It puts you, when you speak about something, it puts you in a state of mind. And then, of course, once the person speaks about it, Alter Rebbe says, you will immerse your thought in the life of life, the blessed Ein Sof. He is literally our true father, source of our life, to awaken our love for him like the love of a son for his father. On one account, by the way, the Alter Rebbe doesn't say just say father here. There's no R says father, mother. When one accustoms himself to this continually, habit will become nature. Now, if a person thinks to themselves, habit becomes nature, but now I'm stuck. Now I'm stuck back to nature, right? So I've said this all the time. So I got excited. It's like every relationship. I'm so excited, the relationship, beginning of a relationship. I'm so excited. I don't think about myself. I only care about the other person that I'm in this relationship with. But of course, as time goes by, all of a sudden you say, how long can you just think about the other person? So the Alter Rebbe says, habit becomes nature. So what's going to happen then? So even if it appears to him at first sight that this is an illusion and in truth, you don't possess this love for Hashem because habit is nature. At the beginning, you got excited. But now you keep saying the same thing, the same davening, the same learning, the same concepts again and again. So you should just know, the Alter Rebbe says, that the truth of the matter is that you're the same as Moshe. There's a very famous story, not a story, but an anecdote that was a big chassid in the last generation. His name was Reb Mendel Futterfass. So they'd say about him, he was in the Gulag for 10 years. Eventually he came to this country and he lived the rest of his life here and in Israel. And the Rebbe said, the Rebbe came out with a campaign to have men put on tefillin. They don't know about tefillin, to go and to convince people to put on tefillin, a big mitzvah to put on tefillin. And one of the Rebbe's 10 mitzvah campaigns, the Rebbe made 10 separate campaigns, 10 separate mitzvahs. The Rebbe said, let's focus on these 10 mitzvahs. Among them, lighting Shabbos candles and having Jewish books in your house and going to the mikveh and keeping kosher, teaching Torah to your children, a number of different mezuzah on the door. One of them was tefillin. So he did not speak English, this chassid, Reb Mendel Futterfass, but he wanted to fulfill the Rebbe's directive to go and to help Jews put on tefillin. So he went to Manhattan or wherever it was, and he goes into a place, a store, or whatever. He says, he just spoke a couple of words, says, "You Jew?" The person says, "Yes." So he says, "You Jew, I Jew. Me tefillin, you tefillin." He put on tefillin. In other words, if I'm a Jew and you're a Jew, I put on tefillin, then you put on tefillin. You do what I do, we're all the same. It was obviously speaking to a person who was completely a secular person, but the guy got the message. And Alter Rebbe is saying the same thing that essentially here in this part of this chapter 44. Moshe is our teacher. If Moshe has it, we have it. Even though it seems to us that we're nowhere on the level of Moshe, but if Moshe has this capacity, then Moshe, out of Moshe's generosity of spirit, the Zohar says, because Moshe wants the Jewish people to be on his level, that's the generosity of spirit of all the tzaddikim. And the Zohar translates the concept of a faithful shepherd, Raya Mehemna. Moshe is called in the Zohar Raya Mehemna. Raya Mehemna means a faithful shepherd. So a faithful shepherd can mean two different things. Again, the literal and the more slightly poetic. The literal, a faithful shepherd means a shepherd that is very, very careful to make sure that nothing happens to his sheep. Right? That's a faithful shepherd. And also, together with making sure that nothing happens to your sheep, meaning a wolf doesn't attack or the sheep don't wander off and get lost, at the same time, a faithful shepherd also makes sure that the sheep have food to eat, because if not food, then you die. So the shepherd makes sure that the older sheep are grazing on grass that is a certain type of grass that they need, and the younger sheep, the little baby lambs, are going to softer grass. So the faithful shepherd gives every sheep according to its particular individual needs. So that's Moshe. Moshe teaches us Torah, and he teaches us Torah, each person according to their level of understanding. we can each connect with the Torah on a way that is capable of motivating us, capable of seeping deep into our bones, deep into our insides, and really, really nourishing us at many levels. So that's all the literal translation of Raya Mehemna, faithful shepherd. But then there's a more poetic translation, which is also along the lines of the literal, obviously, because it's the same two words. And that is a shepherd who gives us faith. So it's not faithful shepherd, a shepherd who is faithful to us, but it's a shepherd, Moshe, who gives us faith, who gives us emunah, gives us faith, and therefore who connects us to Hashem. And that is what Moshe does. So the Rebbe explains to us that even if it appears at first sight that this is an illusion, we don't have this love for Hashem, we're deluding ourselves, it is in fact a hidden love which our soul possesses for Hashem. The benefit derived from the spiritual service emerges into the open, and it can be translated into action. This means being occupied with Torah mitzvahs, which a person will study and perform as a result of this love for Hashem. Meaning the love that the intention is to cause gratification to God, like a son serving his father, who does so in order just to make the parent happy. And again, Abir is repeating that the Zohar says not just the father, but also a mother. Alter Rebbe doesn't quote all the second part. Yes.
I'm sorry. I just have a quick question. So sure. maybe I missed it. So other than prayer, what kind of actions one need to do to keep up with that kind of what level of each individual connection to Hashem? Like, what are the we have the knowledge right now with this lesson, and then what should one take away in terms of actions in order to continue to that connection going forward?
So you can have your own mantra, so to speak, and I hate to use the term mantra, but you could have, because a mantra is something that doesn't make any sense, but you could have, you know, just the words that you say again and again, but you can have your own sentence that plays in your head. You know, and you can quote the Tanya right here. As a matter of fact, once we say that, the Alter Rebbe chose 12 different psukim, 12 different passages that he felt, that the Rebbe felt was important for all of us. And the Rebbe started with children, actually, to know by heart. And one of those, several of those were from the Tanya. And each of those is enough to encapsulate this message. It was previously from chapter 41, most of these, but 41. But the message essentially is that Hashem is watching over us, Hashem is standing over us, Hashem is, it is possible for each of us to cross this energy, the incredible connection to Hashem. So just by, and I'll post a link to the 12 psukim in the chat. Just by having those 12 psukim, or the selections from Tanya that the Rebbe selected out, that itself, they're passages, meaning they're like one or two sentences each one. That itself is sufficient to keep this in your mind as a reminder. But really, what the Alter Rebbe is saying here is that a person should say it in the way they understand it. What works for you. So once you understand the concept, then you can say how it works for you. Again, the davening is scripted for us, but you have to think. You have this constant problem, but this is a problem we have everything in our life. It's the law, as they say in economics, the law of diminishing utility. You know, one ice cream cone is amazing. Two ice cream cones is a little bit less amazing. 50 ice cream cones, you begin to throw up. So that's when it comes to physical stuff. But in spiritual stuff, you become desensitized. So this is, of course, this is the whole Tanya is Alter Rebbe says in the beginning of Tanya, is intended to teach us. Tanya wasn't written to teach a Jew how to do a mitzvah. For that, we have the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, where it describes what the mitzvahs are and how to do it and this and that. Tanya was written to give us a sensitivity and to constantly renew our sensitivity. Like you think of a knife that you sharpen and then you use it, it becomes dull. Everything in life is the same way. You use it, it becomes dull. So you got to sharpen it again. How do you sharpen it? You put it on a stone and you hold it at the right angle and you give it a rub on the stone. So that's what happens. You sharpen your edge and you stay sharp, and you sharpen your edge by sometimes doing the same thing. As long as you discover, and this is essentially also what Alter Rebbe is saying here, you don't have to climb to credible places that you never were at. You don't have to do things that nobody ever did before. You want to sharpen a knife? Find the same stone, find the same angle you used yesterday, and run this knife along the stone, and it's going to get sharp. So find something that worked for you yesterday, say it again, because you just simply forgot it. And what you're essentially doing is you're discovering the blade that's inside yourself already. In other words, you're discovering what's inside yourself. So this is very important to recognize. Our job is dusting ourselves off. Our job is taking out what we have inside, bringing forward that which we have allowed to be submerged and concealed because of the mishigas of our life, because of our yetzahara that's covering us up, because of just the ordinary need to work and to take care of your family and to just, you know, live life in a physical world. And our job is to simply uncover what's inside of ourselves. And this is what Alter Rebbe is exactly saying right here, that a person should recognize that you have this inside yourself. And saying it is sometimes all that's needed. Now, again, more you study and the more you do and the more you remove yourself from things that are stopping and blocking you, the better you're going to be able to access your own spirituality inside yourself. That doesn't mean that if you can't access it, you don't have the spirituality. It just means you're just heaping up, like a person who wants to be an athlete and keeps eating wrong things and not that doesn't mean you don't have the capacity to be an athlete, but if you can't keep eating wrong foods, then of course it's not gonna be. So this obviously is thing. So we're talking about so the long answer to your short question is, I think that reciting the verses from the 12 psukim, which I'm going to link to, is good. Obviously, the davening is exactly scripted for this reason. And you could just read this chapter of Tanya. Many people have the custom to read chapter 41 of Tanya every morning, which again says all these concepts. This is explained here in chapter 44, but chapter 41 is the basic where the concepts are first introduced. So let's continue a little bit. Let's see, we're almost at 10:15. So the gratification, we're saying that this second level of kibra d'ishtadl, which is like a child who wants to do good for their parents selflessly, is the joy of a king whose son returns to him after liberation from captivity, when the soul, which is God's child, clothed in the body and animal soul in a state of captivity. That means it's covered up by its own materialistic urges. Through Torah and mitzvahs, it's liberated from this captivity and is joined with Hashem. The soul once again feels connection, the importance, feels the energy of Hashem's presence. This causes God, it causes Hashem a joy similar to that experienced by the mortal king in the analogy. So this can be one gratification. What is the gratitude? What do you want to make Hashem happy? You want to make Hashem happy that the energy that he put into you should no longer be separated, should no longer be considered that it's looking for itself, but rather it should be want to be connected with its source. That's one joy. Another gratification for Hashem is, as we've said many times in Tanya, that the purpose of creation is so that Hashem should have what's called a dira betachtonim, a dwelling place in these lower worlds. So as already mentioned many times, so the love which a son who strives for the sake of his father can also be revealed, can be revealed by habituating yourself with your tongue, with your voice, to arouse the attention of heart and mind. The Rebbe goes on to explain that it could also be revealed and awakened through habitually speaking about it. One does so in a manner where the heart will feel that God is his true life, the life of love. This is the next thing we're going to be saying. So it is 10:14. So maybe we'll conclude with this, but let me just say that in this chapter we spoke about so far the two levels that the Alter Rebbe is telling us, love for Hashem, the two levels, and they which contain each of them the previous two levels that we spoke about, which is the Avas Olam and the Ava Rabba. Each of these two levels, Nafshi Ibisicha and Kibra de Ishtadil, contain these two levels. We said that Nafshi Ibisicha, even though it's the where I desire spirituality, this is a level that's still a selfish. The higher level, which is Kibra de Ishtadil, where I'm just doing for Hashem, like a child just does for the parents, without any looking to get something back themselves, and maybe they don't even get anything back. And it all, and therefore it has the capacity to be unlimited. The love which we've called Kibra de Ishtadil, like a child doing for the parents. The Alter Rebbe then explained that the reason that we have the ability to reach these two levels of love is because of Moshe, because of our great teacher Moshe, who had this way of manner of serving Hashem. And Moshe gives us as a gift through his service of Hashem. He gives us his energy, and we can access it if we work hard. It's true, it's very, very concealed. It's true that we're living really materialistic lives, and on an ordinary basis, we don't feel this. But if we work hard by meditation,